الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم كنتم شهداء إذ حضر يعقوب الموت إذ قال لبنيه ما تعبدون من بعدي قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نحل والد ولدا من نحل أفضل من أدب حسن أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala has given us total and complete guidance in the Quran Sharif for how to be successful in dunya, and far more importantly, of how to be successful in the everlasting life. If somebody has to give us some prescription for some physical problem, but he says this will relieve you for one day, or for one week, or for one month, but then it will make you very sick for one year. So who is going to be prepared to take such a prescription that will give him 1 week's relief, or 1 month's relief, and 1 year of grief? It's not worth it. I'd rather just try and somehow make do with as best as I can in this one day or 1 week or 1 month, and rather not suffer for that 1 year and forget about 1 year. If it's going to be then lifelong, then I don't want to hear about it also. So a person always will give priority to what is the everlasting part of it, or the long term aspect of it, that the short term he can somehow try to make things happen, try to get past it, try to juggle past issues. The most important issue for him is the long term. Short term relief and long term grief doesn't make sense to him. And obviously won't make sense to any sensible person. So likewise, in dunya, we too want success in dunya. But the success and the relief that we're looking for in dunya must not be a means of long term grief. That the short term relief, we don't know how long we're here. We have hope for a long, long time. We're going to be here for 50 more years and 40 more years. We have no idea we got 40 days left or 40 minutes left. We could live for many years too, and we could live for maybe few minutes left. Allah knows. So the most important thing is to first be concerned about the long-term security, the long-term relief. And in the long-term relief, if there's some short-term challenges that we have to overcome, then we'll make an effort to overcome it to the best of our ability. But if we have to make some sacrifices in this regard, but secure the long-term relief, then it's well worth it. Not well worth it, it's priceless. Nothing can pay its price. So this is the most important aspect that we should be having in our minds for ourselves, and likewise for our children, our progeny to come. Now this time of the year is every parent's concern about getting their children into the best school, getting the children the best education, and all the things that go along with it. So while educating our children in terms of getting some skill in dunya, helping them to earn a livelihood, halal rizq, so that is not in any way, deen is not averse to that. Rather, deen has even encouraged it. In the sense that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted in one hadith sharif that the best that a person can eat from is that which he earns with his own hands, the skill of his hands. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to kana ya'kulu min amali yadayhi, he used to eat out of the earnings of his hands, some skill. So learning a skill, learning something that will help a person earn his halal risk, deen hasn't prohibited it, Rather, we have been encouraged to do something to earn a halal rizq. But whatever we do, whatever education we want to give our children, whatever we want to do to try and earn this rizq that we are seeking, this is all for the short-term relief. But that must not go, we must not go about that in such a way that that effort for the short-term relief leads to long-term grief. That education that we want to give our child becomes a means of corrupting his aqidah, for example. We put him into such an institution, we put him into such a place, for example, it might have a Christian ethos, so now it's known to be a very elite school maybe, very high standards and so on, but standards of what? Of all this dunya only. But in the process, what happens? In the process, sometimes a child's aqidah gets corrupted. The child, the seeds of batil get planted into the heart of that child. This might all sound like some just hypothetical things. One parent mentioned once firsthand, he says he was now debating with his family about his youngest child. That now send her to school, don't send her, homeschool her, whatever, back and forth. And eventually they decided, okay, it's just going to be this great 00. So there's a local school which is attached to some whatever Christian institution, but it's just a great 00, put the child in there, now what's the difference? So in any case, he put the child in. And after that we'll see now, 1 year later we'll see. He put the child in, at the end of the first day the child came and started singing some things which he didn't like what it sounded like. The first day, 1 day in school only, the child was singing something, repeating one line. Just one line, some short line. He just felt very uncomfortable. After 1 day, he took the child out. 1 day, grade 00. And he says many months later, he was driving down now from Northern Natal, he's driving down to Durban. And as he's coming, he passes some place where on the side of the road, there was one factory, big board, Jesus factory. So he just in a sort of, almost like a light way, he say, look at these people now, they even made it Jesus factory. So what respect they got for the name of a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala also, they're attributing it now a factory to that name. So he just mentioned aloud Jesus. Of this child who went one day to that school, where it had some, that teacher was probably, had some mission in her mind. So when this child heard the word Jesus, she said, I know who's Jesus. Father was surprised, who's Jesus? So now this one day in the school, she's saying, Jesus is Lord. Now already one seed was planted in that one day. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's repeating something. She has no idea. That little child, maybe 6 years old, or 5 years old, Allah knows whatever the age was. She has no idea what she's saying. But she is repeating something she heard in one day, months ago. But already one seed was planted. Now it might have sometimes went on and everybody was very amazed. What wonderful progress. Progress in what? In dunya. And the outcome? The outcome is a child, many a child, Allah forbid, Allah save us, so-called came out to say they're no more Muslim, they're now something else. But they were just pretending to be, what happened, where they were, what was being implanted in their hearts, what kind of subject matter was being passed on to them, they gave up their deen, somebody came out to say now they're part of the LGBT culture, and somebody came out to say something else, and now suddenly the parents are coming to a rude shock, in the month of Ramadan, some child who's a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, some point in time performed 20 rakats taraweeh. Then he phones his parents from Cape Town to say, Na'uzubillah, he hasn't been a Muslim for years. He was just going along with the motions because they were forcing him. But he had given up his deen a while ago due to the influence of wherever he was. These are all tragic realities of life. So now the focus is all on the short-term relief. But Allah forbid if that leads to long-term grief, even grief will come in dunya already. What's in the akhirat is beyond imagination. So the most important aspect is to secure the long-term relief. That our akhirat must be secured. We must gain the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. you must gain entry into Jannat without any issue, without any reckoning. That depends on how we conduct ourselves here, what we teach our children, what we learn ourselves, what kind of education we take first. And the most important education we have to take is to recognize our Rabb, to recognize our Creator and Sustainer, to recognize who created us and what He created us for, and how to earn His pleasure, because nothing else is of any consequence. It's earning the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala that will make our dunya and akhirat. Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam, a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran Sharif as a lesson for mankind till Qiyamah, that every parent is worried about his children. Who could have been worried about his child more than a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala? Because we think we have true compassion, but sometimes we're just under a delusion. We're just under a deception. The example of this is that a parent now, the child is really now insisting on something. The parent now out of compassion gives the child, gives into what? The child is demanding money to buy drugs. Says, well, now he's so desperate, just give it to him now. Let him have his, he'll be fine. He'll be comfortable. Then again, after a few hours later, he's demanding more money for drugs. So after, out of compassion, the parent is giving more money for drugs. And then he says, no, how much you're going to keep asking? Rather keep my card. You can swipe as you wish. Out of compassion. Any person who tries to figure this out, what kind of compassion this is, then Qiyamah will come away. He won't be able to figure out what kind of compassion this is. So likewise, sometimes we are out of our so-called compassion, pushing our children towards the destruction of Akhirat. The type of life that we are leading them towards. What kind of education, without checking how things are going, what is being implanted in their hearts, what subject matter they're learning, what kind of company they are keeping in those environments, and where is this leading them to? So Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam, nobody can have more compassion than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. And now he is in his last moments of life, in dunya. So Allah Ta'ala is preserving, has preserved this in the Quran Sharif for us, for mankind till Qiyamah, that look, if you have concern, then this must be your concern. The concern that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam had, this is the primary concern. Then every human being, we have concerns for our well-being in dunya as well, but not at the expense of our akhirat. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. That were you present, we weren't present. So Allah is saying, then listen then. When Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, when now death approached, so now when death approaches, then the most crucial thing to a person, that what's most important to him comes to heart. So in any case, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala says, when death approached him, so what did he do? إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, and he gave the best upbringing to his children, who are all, mashallah, following in the footsteps of their illustrious father, the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam. And in this last moment, he's trying to now make sure, or he wants to make sure, that they are firm on what he has imparted to them, what is most important to them. Allah Ta'ala is highlighting this in the Quran Sharif for mankind till Qiyamah. إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. When he asked his children, who will you worship after me? Worship after me? Only just in aqidah and belief? No, in everything. Because that's a dictate of worship. If you worship one Allah, then you must be obedient to one Allah. And obedient to Him in every aspect of life. Whether it is in terms of our private life, our public life, whether it is in terms of our ibadat, or how we conduct our dealings and business, how we conduct ourselves as people within others, in society, in our homes, with our families, with our children, whatever aspect of life. We worship one Allah, so we obey one Allah. So in any case, he asked him, Mata abuduna bin ba'di. This is my biggest concern now. I'm leaving dunya. Who are you going to worship after me? So then they responded, قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. That we will worship and continue worshipping the one Allah, the same Allah who is your Allah, the Allah of your forefathers, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. We will worship none but the one Allah. And not just we worship Him in faith only, wa nahnu lahu muslimun. And we are totally subservient to Him. We have given ourselves, surrendered ourselves to Him. That is a Muslim who surrenders himself to Allah Ta'ala. Now for that long-term relief, that is a necessity. Total surrender to Allah Ta'ala. And everything else is then secondary. Now for the long-term relief, if there's some short-term sacrifices, some short-term grief, but the long-term relief is secured, alhamdulillah, that's a very cheap bargain. But for the short-term relief, the person is putting himself in long-term grief, that is not sensible in any way. Now, while on the one side, as mentioned right at the beginning, deen is not averse to a person learning some skill, learning something to earn his rizq. The long and short of all the dunyawi education is simply how to fill the stomach and how to enjoy some comforts in life. Full stop, nothing else. Being able to earn a halal rizq, that is an obligation. To earn a halal rizq is an obligation. طَلَبُ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيدَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيدَةِ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to seek halal rizq is an obligation after the other faraiz. But by and large, the education of dunya is how to earn it in a better level and how to live a more comfortable life in dunya. That is the sum total of it. But nowhere does deen say that we must become materialistic. But unfortunately, the secular education of today, to a very great extent, this is the seed that it plants. Materialism. That a person becomes materialistic. Now what becomes the outcome of this? One psychologist, not a Muslim psychologist, one psychologist which is recorded, after extensive research, so now this is a materialistic mindset. A materialistic mindset, what happens? It's all the time running in things. So now his conclusion after extensive research, so he's saying that those who are all the time occupied or very greatly occupied in thinking only about earning and spending, their mind is just in that all the time, by and large, most of the time, in earning, how to earn or how to increase the earning, and in spending lavishly, whatever, this, that and the other. In the monetary worth of things, what I have now, this is still low grade, my neighbor got something far superior now, when I'm going to get that? And my portfolio is still too small, the other person was talking, he is flying high, when I'm going to get there? But the whole time, his mind is in things. Now this is a non-Muslim researcher, psychologist, and he's saying when people, this becomes their mindset, then they are very likely later in life, especially when they are young, they started off already on this, later in life to treat people also as things. They start treating people also as things. Now sometimes when one thing comes in the way of something which your heart is attached to more, then just kick this thing out. This thing comes out, aside. Now when people start treating people as things, and the people that sometimes come first in their way as things now, are their own parents. So many times we get these kind of cases coming, Allah forbid, more and more in this time and age that we are living in, where people just push aside the elderly parents, because they have become like liabilities, materialistic mindset now, that the parents have become monetary liabilities. Or they have become an obstacle in enjoying the material things. I need to go on my holiday, but now this elderly parent now, I'm going to look after this parent now, and so rather now the old age home. So this has become the outcome of this materialism. And this is stemming from this secular education. Now without nothing to counter this, whatever children are being taught, what is being fed to them. So they come home and all the focus is only on that schooling. There's no maktab emphasis. Rather the maktab will get compromised. If there's some doctor's appointment will happen in maktab time. If there's something else, some haircut to take place also will happen in maktab time. That is if that child is attending a maktab to start off with. Otherwise, well, he's already passed grade 5 and 6, so now there's no need for any maktab also in his life. What is the outcome later on in life? Allah forbid, sometimes very, very heartbreaking and tragic scenes and situations unfold where parents themselves are crying tears of blood, but to no avail because it's too late now. Damage is done and gone so far, nobody can figure out now what to do to solve it. So the issue and the message is, we have to implant first and foremost the seeds of Iman, recognizing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That we have to implant in the hearts of our children. They must recognize Allah Ta'ala. They must understand the importance of deen, the importance of the a'mal of deen, and that is what we have to make dua for, make the effort to put in their lives. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left his wife and infant child, baby, in a barren place on the order of Allah Ta'ala, Makkah Mukarrama. There was nobody living there at the time, nothing there, no water, no food. Allah's command, you go and leave them there, then you move out. So he left them there, lengthy incident which we heard over and over again. Now when he's out of sight, he turns to Allah Ta'ala in dua. So now he's making dua for his family, making dua for that little baby. What dua he's making for them. Rabbana inni askantu min zurriyati biwadin ghayri di zar'in inda baytikal muharram. Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Ya Allah, I left my wife, child, this little baby, left them by the sacred house. Just the foundations were there. It was all washed away in the time of the flood of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and had not yet been rebuilt. Or had been rebuilt and then after Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam rebuilt it again, whatever the ruins had come. Well, I left them there. But what is the need now? What is my main concern? What they must do? Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Allah, they must establish salah in their lives. You enable them to establish salah. Now they don't, he's not even aware what is going to be their means of survival there. They got a little bit of food left, hardly any water, which will get exhausted any time. And there's nothing around here. So what's going to be their means of survival? Allah's command is you must carry on. Ya Allah, you establish salah in their lives, they'll survive. Because with the barakat of salah, everything will come right for them. Ya Allah, you enable them to establish liyuqimu salah. And then, yes, they need some security in terms of dunya. Faj'al afidatam minan nasi tahwi ilayhim. Warzuqhum minath thamarat. Ya Allah, you make the hearts of people yearn towards them. So people want to come and stay here. They'll have some company, they'll have some security. And Ya Allah, you provide the needs of dunya for them. Warzuqhum minath thamarat. This is a summary of it. Started off with salah. And Ya Allah, give them all this. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ So that they become truly grateful to you. And the real gratitude is total obedience to Allah Ta'ala. So started off with salah and finished off with the essence of ibadat. Complete surrender to Allah Ta'ala, which is the essence of gratitude. And in between the needs of dunya, in between whatever our general basic day-to-day needs are, but started off with the most important fundamental of deen, and then the essence of deen in the end. This is the message Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave us. That every parent is concerned about their child. Indeed, we all are concerned. And that's just human nature. That's what we have to be. But that concern must be directed in the correct way. That the greatest concern must be for the long-term relief. And that long-term relief concern and effort brings its barakat in dunya already. Now that long-term relief will mean salah must come established in the child's life. With that salah, he'll get his rizq easily also. with the salah, he'll get the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, the help of Allah Ta'ala. That salah comes alive in his life in true reality, that will become the means of bringing everything else alive also. So this is the message Ibrahim alayhi salam gave us, that we want the success of dunya and akhirat for ourselves, for our children. While we are very concerned about the education of our children, more important than every education is that they must learn about Allah Ta'ala. They must learn about who they have to surrender to and how to surrender to Him and what to do in this life to earn the long-term relief. The barakat of that will bring the short-term relief as well. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.